This book is hardback bound with no copyright, no publisher, nor Neil Upstott listed. It is merely mimeographed. Little Nellie of Holy God, the story of the life of a saintly Irish child, by a priest of the Diocese of Cork. Preface. I've been asked to write this story of the life of Little Nellie of Holy God. I have interpreted as a command the expression of a wish coming from such a quarter. Besides, I shall always treasure the memory of the day on which I met that saintly child. The case of Little Nellie has reached that stage when enthusiasm must be held in check by prudence, and when theory, however devotional, must yield to a calm consideration of the facts. Accordingly, some short time ago, those who had lived in closest intimacy with Little Nellie were invited to state clearly and concisely their recollections of that brief life. A number of attestations were forwarded to Rome with the assurance that everything therein contained could, if necessary, be testified on oath. Those documents were translated by a Roman priest, Don Ugo de Scoffi, and arranged in a brochure entitled Nelli Organseni Biographici, by express permission of the Holy Father. This little book was dedicated to His Holiness Pope Pius X. The same documents have been placed at my disposal, together with some additional information, for the accuracy of which I have received a similar guarantee. In view of possible criticism, I wish to draw attention to a point of considerable importance. Owing to her delicate health, Little Nellie was an invalid from the day of her admission to the convent school at Sunday's Well. The person most in contact with the child was the resident nurse, Miss Hall, who was a recent convert to Catholicity. She had read very little Catholic literature and was still under instruction. Consequently, the contention that Little Nellie's extraordinary ideas and sayings were all inspired by her nurse seems to refute itself. My task has not been a very arduous one, and I shall feel amply rewarded if this pamphlet should, in any slight degree, conduce to a greater devotion to our Divine Lord in the Most Holy Sacrament of His love. Signed, Corcagiensis, Feast of All Saints, 1911. Declaration. In obedience to the decrees of Pope Urban VIII, we declare that whatever is related in these pages concerning Little Nellie does not claim any credence other than that which attaches to purely human authority. Little Nellie admitted to St. Finbar's Industrial School. Little Nellie of Holy God, as she is now familiarly called, was born in Waterford on the 24th of August, 1903. The parents of this saintly child were William Organ and Mary Ahern. The name Organ, more usually written Horgan, is frequently met with in County Waterford. The branch of the family to which William belonged had been settled for generations in and around the town of Dungarvan. They were humble Catholic folk, whose sole inheritance was that sterling Irish faith which has survived the centuries of Ireland's bitter sorrow. Mary Ahern was a native of Portlaw, County Waterford. Like her husband, she came of a humble Catholic family, poor in worldly wealth, but rich in those gifts of heaven, for the lack of which no boons on earth can compensate. Mary was educated at the school of the Sisters of Mercy, Portlaw. One of her teachers still preserves the kindliest recollections of the jovial, innocent girl, full of fun and frolic, but straightforward, truthful, and devout. The marriage took place at Portlaw on the 4th of July, 1896, and during the following year they resided in the village where the husband was employed as laborer. Their married life was marked by many a struggle and privation. Their little household felt the pinch of poverty and the poignancy of domestic sorrow. In October 1897, William, finding it difficult to obtain permanent employment, joined the army and was attached to the staff of the Royal Garrison Artillery at Waterford. Here they resided for several years. Already God had blessed them with three children, Thomas, Mary, and David. Their true-hearted Irish mother had labored night and day for the bodily comfort of her offspring, but her greatest solicitude had been to sow in these young minds the seeds of piety and virtue. Then little Nellie came. A few days after her birth, she was brought to the parish church of Trinity Without, where the precious little soul was regenerated in the saving waters of baptism. In 1905, the family removed to Spike, an island fort situated in Cork Harbor. The mother's health, which had never been robust, now visibly declined. Yet she struggled bravely on, forgetful of her own sufferings in her anxiety for the welfare of her children. At length, God saw it was enough. It was the year 1907. Little Nellie, not yet 4 years old, followed the remains of her holy Irish mother to its lowly resting place. Deprived of the strengthening aid of his pious wife, William Organ found that he had not the means to provide for the maintenance and education of the children. The parochial clergy came to his assistance, and through their kind offices, each of the little ones was provided with a home in the charitable institutions of the diocese. Thomas was sent to the School of the Brothers of Charity at Upton. David, the younger brother, was sent to the Convent School of the Sisters of Mercy, Passage West. It was arranged that Mary and Nellie should be sent to the Industrial School, conducted by the Sisters of the Good Shepherd, at Sunday's Well. On the 11th of May, 1907, the two little sisters were brought to the convent. The resident nurse, Miss Hall, was immediately called to report upon the health of the little newcomers. She found that both were suffering from whooping cough, and medical opinion was deemed advisable. The doctor came at once, examined the children, and ordered their removal to the hospital. The district ambulance was sent for. Meanwhile, little Nellie had been crying bitterly, as if she were suffering acute physical pain. Her coughing seemed to rack her tiny frame. Nurse, who had remained in attendance on the children, offered her some soothing pastilles. This little Nellie accepted gratefully, smiling in her tears. She insisted on nurse taking one, and then offered some to her sister, and was quite happy with the few that remained. In a short time, the ambulance arrived, and the little patients were conveyed to the district hospital. Little Nellie and her sister remained at the hospital for a period of 10 weeks. The Sisters of Mercy, in charge of the institution and the medical staff, treated them with every consideration, and on July 20th, they were sent back to Sunday's Well. Their health had improved, but they still looked thin and delicate. The school children flocked to greet the new arrivals, and Mary and Nellie were soon exchanging with them their childish confidences. At supper hour, they joined their companions in the refectory and seemed quite happy in their new home. Soon after supper, they were put to bed, Nellie being given a cot in the dormitory of the bigger girls. On the following day, Sunday, they were brought to the convent chapel for Mass. It was the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, patroness of the Order of the Good Shepherd, in whose honor some motets were sung during Mass by the children's choir. When Nellie heard the sound of the organ, she turned and, joining her hands behind her back, riveted her large brown eyes on the organist and listened to the music with rapt attention. The other girls noticed the extraordinary behavior of their little companion and laughingly discussed it during recreation. All agreed that little Nellie was passionately fond of music. On the first morning, it was noticed that the child ate very little, and fears for her health were renewed in the minds of the sisters. After breakfast, Nellie, now dressed in a pretty blue costume of the little pupils, was brought to visit Mother Magdalene, whose feast was being celebrated with great joy by the children and the community. The little one toddled along the corridor, holding her hands outstretched, as if she were afraid of falling. Nurse came to her assistance, and raising her in her arms, seated her on a windowsill that she might rest a while. She spoke soothingly to the child and offered her a strawberry. "You take one bite," said Nellie, "and I'll take another." Little Nellie's Act of Contrition. Little Nellie now joined in the daily routine of her young companions. Her winning childish ways soon made her a universal favorite. She seemed, besides, to possess some hidden charm. Children and sisters alike were conscious of some secret attraction, the source of which no one could as yet divine. From the beginning, Sister Immaculata, who was in charge of the children's wardrobe, was deeply interested in little Nellie. She set herself to study that little mind and heart and resolved to watch attentively every development in the character of her protege. Nellie, she concluded, was an exceptionally intelligent child, affectionate and generous, and yet occasionally inclined to be peevish and self-willed. The little one gave way to frequent excesses of weeping, especially when bidden to sit still. This the sister interpreted as a desire to have her own way, which she considered it was her duty to correct. Later on, however, it was discovered that Nellie's spinal column was badly curved, and that it must have caused her intense pain to remain seated. Nevertheless, the little sufferer did not complain, and frequently, even when she must have been suffering acutely, she endeavored to suppress her tears. It was only when the girl who slept next to Nellie in the dormitory disclosed the fact that the child frequently wept the whole night through that it was understood how much the little one must have suffered. It was now arranged that Nellie should be transferred to the infirmary, where she could receive constant attention. Here she slept more peacefully, and as a result was more bright and cheerful in the morning. She was not sent to the refectory for breakfast with the other children, but was given her bowl of bread and milk in the infirmary. She usually shared her meal with a little black kitten, of which she was very fond, and which fully reciprocated the child's affection. On the following Saturday, the sister purchased a pair of light shoes for little Nellie, as the boots worn by the pupils were too hard and heavy for those tiny feet. She also had little pink socks made for her, and on Sunday, Nellie, dressed in white and wearing her pink socks and the new shoes, looked quite a picture. All were again struck by some secret charm in that delicate countenance, and the deep, luminous glance of those large brown eyes revealed an extraordinary strength of character in one so young. On Monday, Nellie again appeared in the pink socks and dainty shoes, which had won the admiration of her little companions. For some hours, she was quite happy and playful, but then the change came. She grew more and more restless, and finally burst into a paroxysm of tears. Sister tried in vain to soothe her. At last, knowing how fond Nellie was of her new shoes and socks, Sister told her that if she would not be a good child, she would have them taken away from her and make her wear the old ones. This was too much. Nellie wept more bitterly than ever. The shoes and socks were then taken from her, and the old ones sent for. Meanwhile, Sister watched her attentively. She saw that the child not only did not resist, but even helped to remove her beloved finery. And after a while, she came slowly to Sister and said, "Mother, I'm sorry." This spontaneous expression of regret coming from so young a child touched Sister's kindly heart. She took the little one in her arms and embraced her affectionately. During the following days, little Nelly seemed well and happy. Now and then, however, when told by Sister to sit still, the tears would glisten in those baby eyes. The sister, who was not yet aware of the real reason of the previous outburst, rejoiced to see the heroic efforts of the little one to check a natural impulse, which had unwittingly been reprehended as a fault. One evening, Nelly was in the playground with the other pupils. When the Angelus was rung, the children recited the prayer in common and prepared to return indoors for supper. Nelly seemed loath to go. Her little companions bade her hurry, else she would not have any supper. Nelly remained obdurate. The others, then pretending to go away, hid behind a tree and waited to see what would happen. They thought she would be in tears in a moment on finding herself alone. To their surprise, however, the child continued her play, walking up and down a ladder which lay on the ground and singing cheerily all the while. At length, they had to leave their hiding place and force her to come to the refectory. Next day, Nurse reproved her mildly. "You must be a good child, Nelly," she said, "and not keep the children late for supper." "Dem could go if they wanted to," answered Nelly. "Dem did go and leave me all alone." "But," continued Nurse, "are you sorry for keeping them late?" "Yes, I'm sorry." "Tell Holy God that you're very sorry." In an instant, Nelly was on her knees, and this was her childish prayer. "Holy God, I am very, very sorry for keeping the girls late for supper. Forgive me, make me a good child, and bless me and my mothers." Little Nelly and the Holy Infant of Prague. One morning, during study hour, Nelly, who was again rather restless, was given some large beads to play with. The child put some of them in her mouth, and in moving, swallowed them. Those who hurried to her assistance found that the little one could scarcely breathe. Nurse, who was immediately summoned, carried her out of the classroom. On her way, she met a sister, and Nelly threw herself in her arms, but not to cry or a lament escaped her lips. She was brought at once to the Sacred Heart Infirmary, a little cottage standing in the convent grounds, which is used principally as an isolation hospital. There, they succeeded in extracting the beads. During the days following this unfortunate accident, little Nelly was very weak. The doctor was again called in, and he subjected the child to a searching examination. His verdict was an alarming one. The bacilli of a dread disease which brought her mother to a premature grave had already seized upon that little body. In a few days, she became still worse, and the doctor pronounced her recovery impossible. One evening, when the little patient was very weak, she asked for Reverend Mother and Sister Immaculata, and both hastened immediately to the cottage. Nelly was overjoyed to see them, and when the sister bent over her, she threw her arms around her neck, drew her close to her, and held her for a long time, clasping the crucifix tightly, meanwhile in her little hands. The position was an awkward one, but the sister knew that the slightest force might injure the health of the little invalid. Only after many entreaties did Nelly allow her to go. The sister was visibly affected by this demonstration of affection on the part of her little pupil. She afterwards remembered the reproof she had administered to Nelly and the short-lived punishment she had meted out to her. Was this intended as an assurance that the incident had left no bitter sting in the memory of the affectionate child? While Nelly was still confined to bed in the Sacred Heart Infirmary, a little altar on which stood a statue of the Holy Infant of Prague, attracted her attention. Nurse explained to her that the statue was an image of our Lord when he was a child. Immediately, Nellie's interest was aroused. Nurse proceeded to narrate the story of the birth of Christ and his great love for us. The child listened with evident enthusiasm, and ever afterwards She delighted in the story of Holy God when he was a little child. When it was suggested to her to join in a novena in honor of the Holy Infant, that she might get better, she joyfully assented. At the conclusion of the novena, a certain improvement was apparent, and the little invalid was allowed up for a few hours daily. Nellie was much impressed by this answer to her prayers, and when shortly afterwards Nurse became unwell, she called one of the senior girls and said to her, "Go and bring me Holy God and put him on the chair near me. I want to ask him to make Mother better. He made me better, you know." Thus began little Nellie's devotion to the infant Jesus. Whenever she passed before a statue or picture of the infant Savior, she stopped and asked for all she most desired. On one occasion, she went to a statue of Our Lady and the Divine Child, and touching the globe which he held in his sacred hand, she said, "If you give me your ball, I'll give you my shoes." "Oh, Nellie," said the nurse, "you can't do that." "Him can give 'em if he likes," answered Nellie confidently. Little Nellie's visit to the house of God. When Nellie's health permitted, Nurse occasionally carried her to the garden. On their way thither, they usually paid a visit to the convent chapel. Nellie looked forward to these visits. She knew that this was the house of Holy God, where the people went who wanted to speak to him. "One day," writes Reverend Mother, "I happened to meet Nurse bringing her out of the chapel. I stopped and inquired, 'Well, how is baby today?' In reply, the little one threw her arms around my neck. At that moment, I received the impression that there breathed around the child an air of sanctity which I had not noticed before." Sometimes Nurse would make the way of the cross, holding Nellie in her arms, and the child would fix her earnest, inquiring gaze on the different pictures of the Sacred Passion. Once, when Nurse came to the picture of the Crucifixion, Nellie became very agitated. "Why am they doing that?" she asked, shuddering. Nurse explained briefly that Holy God wished to suffer for our sins. "But why did him let him hurt him?" said the child. "Him could stop him." Nurse took the child aside and explained to her as simply as possible the goodness of Christ and all he suffered in his Sacred Passion. Nellie listened with deep attention, and when Nurse had finished the story of Calvary, the child burst into tears, exclaiming between her sobs, "Poor Holy God, poor Holy God." Nellie had already grasped the idea that God was present in the tabernacle. The mystery of the real presence seems to have made a deep impression on her young mind. Once, during a visit to the chapel, she questioned Nurse about it. "Why am Holy God shut up in that little house?" she asked. Nurse found some difficulty in explaining that he was present there under the sacramental species. The child, however, seemed to understand. She was glad that Holy God was not squeezed in that little house. During her walks in the garden with Nurse or one of the sisters, little Nellie manifested her wonderful love of flowers. She used to say that Holy God was very good to give her such lovely flowers. She often plucked daisies in the convent cemetery, exactly where the body of the Holy Child herself rests today. These she would give to Sister for the altar. It may be mentioned that to this day, there is a pretty custom among the school children of plucking daisies for Holy God after the example of their beloved Nellie. Once, returning after her walk, she halted before the statue of the Sacred Heart which stands in front of the cottage. She noticed that some of the flowers which surrounded it were fading, others quite dead. "Look at them dirty flowers," she said. "Them must be taken away." Long afterwards, when she was so weak that she could not leave her bed, she asked Reverend Mother frequently if them dirty flowers had been removed from the statue of Holy God. Little Nellie's instinct concerning the real presence The little invalid remained for 2 months in the Sacred Heart Infirmary. Nurse frequently considered it advisable to pass the night with her, and Nellie's gratitude for this attention was full of childish pathos. "Holy God took my mother," she would say, "but he has given me you to be my mother." She would put out her tiny hand between the rails of her cot to take that of her mother, and she would clasp it affectionately until her little fingers gradually relaxed and the child fell into a fitful sleep. Meanwhile, as her fragile body was wasting away with the ravages of the disease, her heart and mind were opening to the love of God and the illuminations of His grace. The little altar of the Holy Infant, which stood beside her cot, received her greatest care. She frequently asked for fresh flowers and for oil for the lamp that burned before the statue. One day, the girl who attended to Nellie, while nurse was visiting her other patients, left the child to see to something in another room. Hearing someone move, she re-entered suddenly, not imagining for a moment that Nellie could have left her cot. What was her amazement to see the child, holding a flower in her hand, vainly endeavoring to clamber back to bed. "Oh, you naughty child," said the girl. "I'll tell mother when she comes that you stole a flower." Nellie did not answer for a moment, but hugged the flower to her breast. Then she quietly remarked that the altar was hers. Later on, however, when she was alone with nurse, she said to her, "Mother, I'm sorry I took the flower, but I was only talking to Holy God, and Him give me the flower. Him did, Mother." Some extraordinary instinct concerning the real presence now seemed to develop in this infant mind. This wonderful instinct, discernment or intuition, as it has been differently styled, caused amazement at the time, nor can it be satisfactorily explained except by the subsequent history of little Nellie of Holy God. The girl of whom we have spoken rose early every morning to hear Mass and receive Holy Communion. On one occasion, she rose and dressed at the usual hour, but either because she did not feel well or because she did not consider it prudent to leave the little patient alone, she did not go to the chapel, but remained in the kitchen of the cottage. When she returned to Nellie, she was astonished to hear her say, "You did not get Holy God today. I'll tell Mother on you." The girl thought perhaps the child had heard her moving about in the kitchen. Accordingly, next time an idea occurred to her to test little Nellie. She went to the door of the cottage, opened the latch, and closed the door again, thus giving the impression, as she thought, that she had really gone to Mass. She then removed her boots and during Mass time moved about as little as possible in the kitchen. She looked quite unconcerned when she returned to Nellie's room. The child, however, fixed her pensive eyes on the girl's countenance, and then the same reproving words were spoken sadly, "You did not get Holy God today." "How do you know, lovey?" said the girl. "Didn't you hear me close the door?" "No matter," said the child. "I know you didn't get Holy God." A Visit of Holy God. Towards the end of September, Nellie had a serious relapse. She was removed from the Sacred Heart Cottage to the cheerful little ward known as the School Infirmary, where the girl in charge received her with much affection. Nellie ate very little, but suffered keenly from thirst. They tried to induce her to eat, but though she did her best to please, she would sit for hours with her bowl of soup between her hands, vainly endeavoring to swallow a spoonful. Pressed for a reason, she said her throat was painful. The next time the doctor came, he examined the throat, but found nothing wrong. Some weeks later, nurse, while washing the little patient's mouth with a disinfectant's lotion, discovered that a tooth had become embedded in the root of the tongue. It was a difficult matter to extract it. When at last they succeeded, and we can imagine what pain it caused. Nellie said triumphantly, "Now, Mother, didn't I have a sore throat?" They marveled at the patience of the child, who had never complained of the awful torture which she must have endured for weeks. Meanwhile, her suffering from thirst became extreme. At night, she would call the attendant and ask in her sad, pleading voice for a little sup of milk. If the girl did not hear her first entreaty, Nellie would not call again, fearing to disturb her rest, but waited patiently until morning. At last, however, the suffering became intolerable, and the little one begged of the nurse to stay near her at night. Nurse readily consented, and had her bed prepared beside Nellie's in the infirmary. The child superintended these arrangements and insisted on smoothing the sheets with her own little hands. "I don't want any wrinkles in Mother's bed," she said. This new arrangement gave Nellie ample opportunities for those little spiritual conversations which the child loved so much. Nurse often found it difficult to frame an answer to Nellie's questions. She confesses that she had frequently to ask for information from the sisters, and that more than once the little one's remark so impressed her that she accepted without further demur certain points of Catholic doctrine and practice concerning which she had found it difficult to overcome her former prejudices. One morning, Sister Immaculata and Nurse Hall went together to visit the little patient, who had spent a very restless night. It was then that the following extraordinary conversation took place. "How are you today, darling?" asked Nurse. "I thought that you'd have been with Holy God by this time." "Oh, no," answered Nellie. "Holy God says I'm not good enough to go yet." "What do you know about Holy God?" said Nurse. "Him did come and stand there," replied the child, pointing to the side of her cot, "and him did say that." Nurse and the sister looked at each other in amazement. "Where is he, Nellie?" asked the sister. "There," she repeated confidently, pointing to the same spot. "And what was he like?" asked the sister again. "Like that," answered Nellie, crossing her hands on her breast. Sister and nurse were naturally astounded at this revelation. Was it a childish fancy, or had God favored this little child as he had favored other chosen souls? After much deliberation, they agreed that it would be more prudent not to mention the matter to anyone, unless Nellie herself should speak of it again. We shall see that little Nellie, when on the threshold of eternity, solemnly repeated the story of this visit of Holy God. The Little Soldier of Holy God. For so young a child, little Nellie had made marvelous progress in religious knowledge. She had learned by heart the morning and evening prayers, the acts of faith, hope, and charity, the principal mysteries of religion, and much of the story of the life of Jesus. Her growth in holiness was even more remarkable. She manifested a wonderful devotion to the passion of our divine Lord, and when they exhorted her to unite her sufferings with those of the Redeemer, she seemed to grasp the idea immediately, and was quite prepared to make the heroic sacrifice and to endure the most atrocious suffering without a murmur of complaint. She kept a crucifix beside her bed, and when her sufferings became almost unbearable, she would take it in her little hands, stare at it fixedly, and whisper, "Poor Holy God." She prayed frequently during the day, and her earnestness and recollection were most edifying. She prayed for all who were dear to her, the sisters, the bishop, the nurse, her little companions, and daily that pleading voice was raised to heaven for the welfare of the Church of Christ and his vicar on earth. Her recital of the rosary was particularly edifying. She kissed each bead and recited each prayer slowly, distinctly, and with a spirit of recollection most remarkable in one so young. "One evening," writes Reverend Mother, While I was sitting beside her cot, I said to her, "Shall I talk to you, baby, or shall I say the rosary?" "Say your rosary, mother," she answered. I had only said a few Hail Marys when I heard her whisper, "Kneel down, mother." I paid no attention and continued to the end of the first decade, when she repeated, in quite a determined tone, "Kneel down, mother," and I had to finish the rosary on my knees. The sisters were so impressed with the piety and knowledge of the dear child that they had begun to entertain the wish that she would receive the sacrament of confirmation before God would call her to himself. Already prayers had been offered up for that intention, but the matter had not been brought before the notice of the bishop. What was the sisters' joy, then, when on the 8th of October, in 1907, the Most Reverend Dr. O'Callaghan telephoned to the convent that he was coming at midday to administer the sacrament of confirmation to little Nellie. It is believed that this was a special inspiration, as the most extraordinary graces of the life of little Nellie were granted after her reception of this sacrament. When she heard that she was to become a little soldier of Holy God, her happiness knew no bounds. The sisters deemed it advisable to give the child some further instruction in Christian doctrine, but they were astonished to find that she knew already, as if by intuition, much of what they intended to teach her. When a sister came to explain the ceremony to her, she listened with rapt attention, and gradually, as the hour approached, the excess of her joy made her tender limbs tremble. After the ceremony, she was brought to the parlor to receive another blessing from the bishop, who was visibly impressed by the piety of the child. Nurse had prepared a couch in her own room where Nellie was to rest during that happy day. When they brought her there, she greeted her mother joyfully. "Now," she cried, "I am Holy God's little soldier." "I want Holy God." On the evening of her confirmation, Nellie had entreated Reverend Mother to allow her to stay in Nurse's room. After hesitating for a while, the mother had consented, and so the child took up her abode there until God called her to her heavenly home. The graces received at her confirmation soon bore remarkable fruit in the mind and heart of our saintly child. First, and above all, that marvelous instinct or intuition regarding the real presence now developed into an earnest conviction and filled her angelic soul to overflowing with a love of Jesus and the tabernacle and an insatiable desire to be united to her God in the loving intimacy of Holy Communion. Only by degrees did the sisters become aware of this extraordinary development in little Nellie, and then only from the remarks of the child herself, which, though clothed in her childish language, spoke the thoughts and aspirations of the saints of God. They were astonished to find that Nellie knew instinctively when the Blessed Sacrament was exposed. No one would have spoken of it to the child, nor could any indication of the fact be noticed outside the precincts of the chapel, much less in Nellie's room. And yet, on exposition days, some holy excitement seemed to thrill that little soul, and she would beg them to bring her to the chapel. "Holy God is not in the lockup today," she would say. "Take me down to him." From the silence of the tabernacle, that sweet, mysterious voice was calling, calling. It found a responsive echo in the soul of our dear child. Often, in a sad tone and with a look that seemed to pierce the veil, she was heard to repeat to herself, "I want Holy God. Oh, I wonder when he will come. I want him to come into my heart. I am longing for him." Nurse went down to the chapel every morning that her duties permitted to hear Mass and receive Holy Communion. Sometimes, seeing little Nellie so weak, she hesitated, deeming it perhaps imprudent to leave the child alone. But Nellie always insisted on her going. "Mother, go down to Mass," she would say, "and get Holy God, and come back to kiss me." Then you can go back to the chapel again. After communion, Nurse would return to see Nellie and kiss her. The child received the kiss with religious reverence and then waved her hand as a sign to Nurse to return to the chapel. She did not speak herself, nor would she have Nurse interrupt her thanksgiving. Reverend Mother visited Nellie every evening. On one occasion, when about to bid the child good night, she was startled by the following request. "Mother," said little Nellie, "tomorrow morning, when you get Holy God, will you bring him up to me?" Mother knew not what to answer. She considered for a moment and then replied, "Tomorrow morning I shall ask Holy God to be very fond of you, and I shall come up to see you after Mass." This reply seemed to satisfy the child. Later in the evening, she called the nurse and said to her, "Mother Francis is going to bring me Holy God in the morning." We will continue with the story of little Nellie on side B of this tape.